Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of the universe, and the sustainer of all that exists. May he send his peace and blessings to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to our podcast session, The Splendors of the Sahaba, brought to you by Masjid Al-Islah. Inshallah, with me, Ustaz Hairuzaman, we will discover more about the companions. We will try to learn and be inspired from them, and to make them role models in our lives. We know today that, you know, a lot of people take role models for themselves in order to be inspired, in order to be motivated in pursuing whatever they want in their lives. And I think as Muslims, one of the best role models that we can possibly take is the companions. May Allah be pleased with them. Okay, and the reason to that is because that, number one, they are human beings just like us, even though they may live 1,400 years ago. But they are still human beings. They face human problems just like us. And at the same time, they are Muslims, and they were groomed by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from their life experiences, from the history that they had, from their dedication to helping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in spreading Islam, at the same time in practicing Islam, we inshallah can be inspired and derive some benefits and some lessons from their life story. So for today's session, inshallah, we will look at a very popular companion, a very well-known companion, and his name is always mentioned in the Friday prayers. Usually, you know, when men go to the mosque to pray their Friday prayers, the imam will usually recite his name. Okay, and this is none other than the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth righteously guided leader of the Muslim Ummah that succeeded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none other than Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib. May Allah be pleased with him. Now, when I say the word Ali bin Abi Talib, automatically, oh yeah, this is a companion that is well known by our Muslim community, and it is loved by them as well. So inshallah, we will take a look at his biography, his life experiences, and maybe we can learn a bit or two from his life story and how he was considered one of the greatest companions amongst the people who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So of course, we need to learn a bit more about himself first. So for starters, he is Ali bin Abi Talib. Okay, his name is Ali and his father is Abi Talib. So his father Abi Talib, I think, may ring a bell to some of you, because his father, basically Abu Talib, is in fact the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous uncle whom had helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his journey in propagating Islam in Mecca, the famous uncle who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even though he didn't agree with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So yes, Ali is in fact the son of Abu Talib, which means Ali himself is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Talib was the Prophet's uncle, and then it makes Ali bin Abi Talib his close cousin. And what's special about that is that Ali bin Abi Talib was amongst one of the first converts of Islam, one of the early converts who converted to Islam. Yeah, we know for a fact that the first human being that converted to Islam was essentially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife Khadijah. May Allah be pleased with her, radhiallahu anha. And then comes along, we have Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and no wonder he was considered the best friend of the Prophet, or the most closest to the Prophet. And he was the first male individual who had converted to Islam after Khadijah. And then comes a few individuals. One of them is Ali bin Abi Talib. So our scholars and historians have mentioned that Ali bin Abi Talib was considered the first child or the first young Muslims who had somehow embraced Islam and embraced the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was even mentioned by some historians that Ali bin Abi Talib converted to Islam when he was around 10 years old. Imagine, a 10-year-old child had already understood what's going on. Okay, and in fact, if you read the story of his conversion, he was the one that actually asked the Prophet, what exactly is the Prophet doing? Because it was mentioned in some of the history books that Ali bin Abi Talib saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife was praying. Okay, so when both of them were praying, Ali was curious and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" So the Prophet explained to him, "Oh, this was the religion that Allah had revealed to me, and I really hope that you can join me as well." So Ali bin Abi Talib says, "Okay, I don't want to judge anything. I don't want to give any conclusions. So let me just wait for my father." So then the Prophet said, "Oh Ali, please don't tell your uncle, your father yet, because I don't want to make this a huge thing amongst the community. And we know for a fact that the Prophet SAW started his da'wah in silent, okay? Because he didn't want any commotion, any, you know, insecurities that will be faced by his followers. So Ali ibn Abi Talib agreed with him, and after one night of contemplating and thinking, the next day he actually met the Prophet SAW. So he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what do you have to say to me? So the Prophet explained to him, just testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and you must leave the religion of the old people, and at the same time, do not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened Ali's heart, and Ali said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I convert to Islam. So he was one of the first child, one of the first young men who had converted to Islam. And it's no wonder also, he was also considered one of the 10 promised companions who will go to paradise. So we know for a fact that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned to us that there are actually 10 amongst the companions which are promised to go to heaven. Yeah, they are amongst the people of heaven for sure. And one of them is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now who are the 9? I won't tell you who are the 9. So maybe this could spark some curiosity for all the listeners out there. So maybe you could take a look and see. And of course, at the same time, they are chosen as the 10 who are promised to go to heaven for some reasons, of course, which we will look at inshallah after this. So of course, Ali radiallahu anhu was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not just that, he became more closer to the Prophet when it comes to lineage and family, because he got married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter Fatima. And so the Prophet somehow was his cousin, at the same time was his father-in-law. So Ali ibn Abi Talib became his son-in-law and married the Prophet's daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. So you could see here that Ali radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his childhood, okay, during his youth, and until he became an adult, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this earth. And after a few years, he became the 4th leader of the Muslim Ummah after Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Uthman. So Ali ibn Abi Talib somehow became the 4th leader that succeeded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in leading the Ummah. And of course, as I mentioned before, he was chosen as the 10 promised companion that will go to heaven. He was also considered the 4th leader of the Muslim Ummah due to reasons. And one of the reasons is because of the traits that he have. And as I mentioned in the beginning, they are still human beings, and they are, you know, exemplifying traits that all human beings can practice and achieve. So inshallah, these traits that I will share will be, I hope, an inspiration for all of us to, at the end of the day, become better Muslims. Because at the end of the day, that's what we really want. Again, we seek knowledge, we try our best to amend our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because at the end of the day, we want to be better Muslims who have a better relationship with Allah, at the same time, better Muslims who can be the most beneficial to his family and to his community. So I think I would share 2 traits that is quite relevant for us today. I think the first trait is, of course, as a person who is chosen to be going to paradise in Judgment Day later on, of course, he must have had sacrificed a lot for Islam, sacrificed a lot for the Prophet ﷺ, and sacrificed a lot for the whole Islamic community or the Muslim Ummah. Okay, let me share to you a story where you could see how Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu was a very passionate person. He was a very passionate person that he usually, and he is actually, in fact, amongst the frontliners, amongst the companions. So if there's any campaign, any, you know, issues with regard to any within the Muslim Ummah, if there are any, you know, war campaigns or any political things going on, okay, Ali will always be the frontliners amongst the companions. Okay, so he sacrificed his intelligence, his life, his skills in order to help the community, in order to help propagate Islam as well. So let's look at this particular story. So this story is actually something that happened during one of the campaigns, and that is the campaign of Tabuk, Ghazwa Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk. Okay, it's a very long campaign, a very interesting one indeed. And it was one of the last campaigns that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participated before he departed from this earth. So what happened was that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to go with the army to the war itself, okay, so he told Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Ali, oh Ali, let me just tell you something, I have a job for you. So of course Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, I will do anything. So the Prophet said, Ya Ali, your job in this campaign is to stay in Medina, because they were living in Medina, stay in Medina and go and take care of the children, the women, at the same time, the affairs of the community there at Medina. So Ali was shocked. Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, why can't I join you and, you know, participate? Because he was considered a frontliner. So of course, he felt undermined when the Prophet ﷺ somehow left him at Medina and, you know, only giving him the task to take care of the affairs of the community, where in fact, he believes that he can do more. And he believes that he has the skills and the experience to help the Prophet ﷺ, as well as the other community members, okay, and the soldiers, to participate in this campaign. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this is your task. And then Ali said, I'm shocked. So I felt undermined. So the Prophet ﷺ actually gave an optimistic point of view to actually motivate the Ali radiallahu anhu to tell him that, you know, this task that you are doing is actually something special. So he said to Ali, he says, أَلَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى. O Ali, do you not know that if you take this task, you are actually of the same position as Nabi Harun? Just as how Musa, the Prophet Musa, when he left his community, he actually gave Harun the task, the responsibility to take care of the community. And that was a heavy duty that was given to Nabi Harun. And then the Prophet said, وَلَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِي. There is no Prophet after me, but your position right now, me leaving you, taking care of this community, is as if the Prophet Musa alayhi salam is leaving his brother Harun to take care of his community. And after that, Ali said, Ya Rasulullah raditu, Ya Prophet, or Ya Messenger of Allah, I agree and, you know, I am pleased with whatever I've heard. So, of course, he felt motivated because the Prophet said he has almost the same position as Harun when he was somehow succeeding Musa, when we know, of course, in the famous story of Nabi Musa. Okay, Nabi Musa somehow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him to have a conversation with Nabi Musa. So Nabi Musa had to leave his community. So of course, there needs to be a leader that has to be, that needs to be a substitute in order to take care of the community. So of course, Nabi Musa appointed Nabi Harun. Similarly here, the Prophet ﷺ and the other companions were marching to a campaign far away from the Arab lands, okay, because they were fighting against the Roman Empire. So, of course, he needed a responsible leader. He needed an intelligent leader. He needed somebody whom he really trusts and can do the job well. And because of that, he chose Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, what exactly is the lesson of this story? Actually, we can derive many things from this story, as I've mentioned before. But I think the most important trait that we want to focus, and I think one of the reasons, and this is one of the reasons why Ali also was chosen as the 10 promised to go to heaven, is of course, number one, his sacrifice and passion to contribute to the Muslim Ummah. The fact that he himself is a frontliner, the fact that he himself felt undermined, that he didn't participate in the campaign, shows his courage, shows his spirit to actually help the Prophet and to be the best. And that is something I think that we really, really need to inculcate in ourselves and in every members of our society. Imagine if everyone were, you know, to have that feeling of, I want to be the best, I want to make sure I do my job well, I want to make sure I can contribute in whatever field I am pursuing right now, whether I'm studying, whether I'm, you know, working right now, whether I am taking care of my family. The fact of the matter is, I am passionate to contribute. I am passionate to do my best. And that is something that we can see from Ali's trait. Similarly, we can also learn from this that the Prophet ﷺ did something that was quite inspiring as a leader. And I think all leaders should listen to this. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ left Medina in the hands of Ali, he is doing something that, of course, he knows that will somehow Ali will feel undermined because of that. So of course, what did the Prophet did was, he actually gave some words of motivation. And he is actually motivating Ali, giving him some optimism by seeing in whatever he's doing, he's actually doing something good, he's actually doing something that's beneficial. At the same time, whatever task you are doing right now, it doesn't undermine your position at all. And you can see, the Prophet himself said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Ali, you are just like Prophet Harun when Prophet Musa left Prophet Harun to take care of his community. So as leaders, let's say if some of your listeners here are, you know, supervisors, managers, or at least, you know, in charge or responsible of some people or some of your colleagues. So make sure, let's say once in your career, or let's say in one of your projects, you need to, you know, put a task or assign a task to a particular colleague, which you know has a lot of capabilities, has a lot of potential, and you know that this task somehow apparently may undermine his abilities. Yet as a leader, you should always make you should always make sure you motivate them. You should always make sure you bring in optimism into the workspace and to not undermine their abilities, and to tell them that this task doesn't undermine you. This task actually could, you know, is actually supplement your position as somebody who is valuable in this company or in any places that you are working right now. So I believe that the Prophet ﷺ somehow had shown to us a sign of leadership that is quite amazing, even though he's just giving a words of motivation. But trust me, words are more stronger than anything in the world. Even though you have the most strongest person who can move, you know, kilos and tons, yet sometimes a single word or a single sentence could break that person's heart and could break his mentality. So similarly, you see here the Prophet ﷺ, through his words of motivation, he somehow motivated Ali to accept this task. And this task is of course a heavy task as well, to take care of the community, to take care of the affairs of the people of Medina. So as you can see here, this is one trait that we can see why the Ali bin Abi Talib was chosen as one of the 10. Although there are many reasons, these are the traits that they have, or Ali himself had, which was courage, which was the passion to contribute, which was sacrifice, being responsible, being up for the task, for any task that your leader or your superior will give to you. So you can see, based on these traits, Ali was an inspiring Muslim, at the same time a very well-known Muslim, and ended up becoming one of our leaders in Islamic history. He was considered the fourth Khalifa, or the fourth amongst the four rightly guided Khalifas.